And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
Everyone out there, it's the NFL Exporter checking in. We got the big Monday night football game tonight, Pittsburgh versus Houston. And I know that people out there have a lot of players going. We got Big Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Some people may even have Heath Miller for the Texans. I know a lot of people have Arian Foster. Quite sure there are a number of people with Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. And so this is a big Monday night football game, and I'd like to thank everybody for joining the show. It is the Extra Point. I am your host, the NFL Exporter. Let's make sure before we hop into the show, you know how to connect with me on my social networks. You can find me on Twitter at NFL Exporter or Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. And for both of those, you spell that NFLExporter, all right? And this is the place to be each and every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we review all of our predictions that were made on our other show. We do every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Got to say what's up to my man Jerry Taylor, Mr. Cash Out, Mr. ATM. I co-host that show with him called The Master Plan every Sunday. And so you want to make sure you're here for both shows. On Sundays on The Master Plan, we give our predictions for every single fantasy football game each week. You get in-depth analysis and just a great overall knowledge and perspectives for your matchups. So you definitely want to make sure to tune in before you set your lineup every week. And then we come back on Monday nights, or Monday evenings, I should say, right here on The Extra Point to recap our predictions. And, of course, get you ready for the big Monday night football game. The call-in number to the show is 347-637-3220. Feel free to call in. You know, things are definitely starting to heat up here. This is going to be the end of week seven after our big game tonight. And so for most people in fantasy football, that is going to either leave you with, what are we here, 5-2. It's going to either leave you with either 6 or 7 weeks of football left before your playoffs start. And so this is definitely not a time to be fooling around. If you're serious about making the playoffs, you definitely want to make sure that you tune in and check this out, because there's no question we make sure that you are ready with your lineups each and every week. And give me a quick moment here. Just need to pull one more thing up, and we'll hop right into our show. I know I can speak for myself that I, right now, I am up 26 points, and I am playing against Le'Veon Bell tonight. In my ESPN league, man, I've got a strong lineup. Guys just did not perform for me. And it was kind of an average week. You know, we certainly had a lot of guys put up big numbers, but I think overall, I think this was a balanced week. You know, I think that there were certainly a lot of players who just flat out didn't show up. You had a number of guys who did show up, and then as always, you have a bunch of guys who were not on anybody's roster. Most importantly, in their starting lineup, who came up with some fantasy points as well. And so, yeah, in my ESPN league, I'm stacked over there. I have Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. My running backs are Alfred Morris, Ben Tate, Brandon Oliver, Mark Ingram, My wide receivers are Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson, Terrence Williams of the Dallas Cowboys. I have Julius Thomas at tight end. I have Adam Vinatieri as my kicker. And, man, I had the Seahawks defense, but it doesn't look like they're going to be putting up too many big numbers, at least not now. And so I was 4-2 coming into the week, and my opponent didn't put up a lot of points. I believe he scored only 79 points, but I only put up 65. You know, Phillip Rivers had a tough outing. Alfred Morris, he is just not producing lately. Ben Tate had a horrible game. Let's see, Terrence Williams had one touchdown, but only 10 yards. So he only had 7 points. My other wide receiver, I believe I went with Andre Holmes this week because Calvin Johnson is hurt. Vincent Jackson was on a bye. Julius Thomas, only 2 points. Brandon Oliver, maybe only 8 points. And so it was just a quiet week. You know, I had a whole bunch of guys who basically didn't get into the end zone. On the other hand, in my NFL.com league, which is the league that's most important to me, that's the league that I'm in with my family members. I'm quite sure everybody out there has a league with, that they're in with family members or friends. And so I made one key mistake there. I had Kirk Cousins, the quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and Matt Stafford on my bench. Now, there were three quarterbacks who I advised fantasy owners who I thought would be a great fit for your team coming into yesterday's action, that being Kirk Cousins, that being Carson Palmer, and Brian Hoyer. And Hoyer and Cousins just totally gutted out. And so Kirk Cousins left me stranded with just 2 points. But I still had DeMarco Murray, Randall Cobb, Calvin Benjamin. All those guys stepped up, helped me out in a major way. My opponent, though, luckily, just had an off day as well. He had Steve Smith, Emmanuel Sanders, Alshon Jeffrey, Jason Witten, basically just a bunch of guys who did not perform as well. And so, like I said, I'm up 26. Another thing that hurt me, I had Anquan Boldin. I scooped him up for a week. He conveniently dropped a touchdown that would have pushed him into double digits and had this game totally out of reach. But I'm feeling comfortable enough. I think 26 is a number that's pretty lofty for Bell to reach. He can do it without question, but I'm certainly hoping that this is a game that I can come out of here with a victory, you know, and move to 5-2. Now let's go ahead and jump into action from yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I see my man, Mr. Gardner, calling in. So let me bring him in real quick. Victor, what's going on? How you doing today?
Ain't nothing. I'm your co-pilot for the day. It's me. It's me, Mr. FSP. You keep it rolling. I'm sorry about Kirk Cousins. Now we got Colt McCoy. Have mercy.
Well, no problem at all. Well, you know we're going to get to that. Let's go ahead and get the action started, though. Yesterday, we had the Baltimore Ravens put it on the Atlanta Falcons. And I'll just say this from a pure football standpoint. The Atlanta Falcons, this team is done this year. The only reason they still have life is because they're now horrible. The NFC South is so bad this year. The leader in that division is Carolina at 3-3-1. You have the 2-4 Saints, the 2-5 Falcons, the 1-5 Buccaneers. But I was just saying from a pure football standpoint, the Falcons are extremely bad. For the simple fact that, give me 1 second, let me close this.
The po-po, yo-yo, the po-po.
Okay, sorry about that, everyone. I had a window open, I didn't realize. But I was just saying that the Atlanta Falcons, you're going to see this trend continue because they can't run the football. And when you're one-dimensional like them, you know, it's nice that they're going to put up fantasy numbers every week. You know, Matt Ryan, he'll probably do better at home or against teams that aren't that good. Either Roddy White or Julio Jones is going to benefit. But without them being able to run the football, they're going to be in the same type of situation every week, which is they're very predictable. And teams are pretty much, you know, especially with the big loss, we're getting a chance to see. We talked about that coming into the season. Tony Gonzalez not being there in the middle of the field. That was a big reason that Roddy White and Julio Jones were able to have a lot of success. And so, you know, looking at this ball game, you had Matt Ryan, 228 yards, one TD. This Falcons team is 0-4 on the road this year. They haven't won a road game outdoors in a very long time. And to make things worse for them, not only can they not run the football, they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And so, you know, Roddy White came out yesterday, 100 yards and a touchdown. That was good for 16 points. We spoke about him on the show, and I know I talked about him on a couple of my shows throughout the week. Just was wondering what was going on with Matt Ryan and the Falcons averaging 305 passing yards a game. He came into yesterday's action with only two TDs and averaging 50 yards. So if you had him in your lineup, he certainly did you justice. But Matt Ryan didn't do much at all. 228 yards, a touchdown, was harassed all day. When you flip it over to the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco had a couple interceptions, but had 258 yards and two TDs to kind of offset that. Justin Forsett, you know, did you a little justice, you know, just missed double digits with 95 yards, but he continues to be a very strong start. Again, he has completely solidified himself as the starting running back, the featured back for the Ravens, and you see him doing very well in that Gary Kubiak system. You know that Forsett was a backup a couple years behind Arian Foster. And we talked about Torrey Smith on the show yesterday, and we just said that, you know, basically with Steve Smith getting off to that hot start the first four games, you knew he was going to slide against Indianapolis. We're going to get to them later. But they are the Colts defense is just being stingy at a wide receiver. So Smith had a week off, Smith Sr. Last week came back strong against Tampa Bay. Yesterday he had 60 yards, but Atlanta did a good job of limiting him. But what I was seeing is Torrey Smith got off to such a slow start. I think what you're starting to see now is that defenses are paying so much attention to Steve Smith. It's opening things up for Torrey. And so he had 81 yards and a touchdown. That was good for 14 points. Talk to me, Victor. Did anything in particular stand out to you in the Falcons versus Ravens game yesterday?
I'll tell you. Lorenzo Taliaferro and Bernard Pierce are afterthoughts, you know. You're absolutely right. Forsett has taken hold of that job, and he's not letting it go. But I'll say this. Pierce and Taliaferro might have a little market value, especially now that Buffalo's dealing with what they're dealing with. I know you're going to get to it. But it surprised me. It surprised me that Forsett is the main man there. Because it's so small and fragile, or whatever the case may be, but also the fact that Atlanta is so bad on defense. I'm not sure if Mike Nolan's going to make it through their bye week as the defensive coach. They need to probably start playing some of their younger players that are hungry and playing for a job. Even though they're in the NFC South, you know, the lead right now in the South is 3-3-1, and that's with Carolina. So there's a shot there for them to turn this around, but they have to find some defense, and they have to find it quickly, and they have to find a running game, like you said, man. Antoine Smith didn't have a good game, and I'm lucky I benched him. But Steven Jackson didn't either. Neither did Jaquez Rogers or Devontae Freeman. You know, Matt Ryan can't do it all by himself. He is not an elite quarterback. So with that being said, I don't want to take too much time because I did notice that we don't have our complimentary extra 30 minutes, so I'm trying to fix that right now. So I apologize to you, Lance, about that.
Okay, no problem. Life is all about adjustments, so we'll definitely go ahead and be able to push forward, no problem. Moving on, and I'm going to let my man Victor Gardner go in first because the Redskins are his team. I'm a 49er guy, so I usually handle that. Jerry, who's not with us today, he's a Texan guy. So we always give that person first dibs because they're going to have the utmost insight as to what's going on. Our next game is Tennessee at the Redskins. The Redskins were able to barely win this ball game. I think it kind of speaks volumes right now to overall. You know, I thought the problems were primarily on the defensive side of the football. Obviously, the secondary right now, you know, not at full strength. You know, just being hit by a rash of injuries. It wasn't that strong of a group coming in. You know, the safety position is something me and Victor have talked about quite a bit where you have some heavy hitters, but guys who just, you know, don't fare that well in coverage. But yesterday, and I apologize, you know, I've been apologizing a lot today, but that's one thing about me. I don't give you advice and I don't take myself. In my NFL league, .com league, I have Nick Foles on a he was on a bye. Matt Stafford, I should have read into the matchup a little more with that poor Saints defense. I'll talk about that a little bit more in the show. But long story short, I started Kirk Cousins yesterday after I seen the Titans defense give up 336 yards and a touchdown to a rookie on their home field last week. I figured this was going to be a blowout for the Redskins. They came in losing four in a row. I thought this was going to be a feel-good blowout, and I thought that, you know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, I wasn't looking for spectacular numbers, but I thought that 250 to 300 yards and two or three TDs were without question in his reach. Alfred Morris is another guy had as a strong start. But the only one who had a day that was worth noting was Pierre Garçon, 87 yards, a touchdown, and his one his touchdown ate up the majority of his yards. And so, Victor, definitely tell us about the struggles of Kirk Cousins. I think we all know he's a turnover machine. But more importantly, the guy that I'm worried about is Alfred Morris. I'm looking at his last three ball games, and he's got 2 points, 5 points, and 5 points. You know, he's only scored one touchdown in his last five games and has yet to hit the 100-yard mark this year. He has only one game over 90 yards. So, you know, I guess you can kind of be brief on Cousins because he's been demoted. But maybe focus on Alfred Morris, you know, once you tell us a little bit about maybe not so much Cousins, maybe McCoy. But definitely talk to us about Alfred Morris. This was a top 10 running back, and shockingly, the Redskins running game is seeming to have sputtered a little bit here lately. You still with me, Victor?
Yes, ma'am. I apologize. I apologize. I did a Jerry. I hit the mute button. I apologize. Oh.
Okay.
And I cannot talk about Alfred Morris without talking about Kirk Cousins. I do apologize for that, but it's the truth. The first part of the season, you know, Alfred Morris is getting a steady diet of 20-plus touches running the ball. The last couple games, he's ran the ball maybe 12, 15, I believe yesterday, 18 times. Jay Gruden said that he's getting the yards based upon the run-blocking scheme, but he's not breaking tackles. I beg to differ. I think he's getting the yards off the way the team has designed the run play, but because there's so many people coming up to hit him, he can't break the tackles. And there was an issue with DeSean Jackson not blocking in the Washington Post a little last week, and that was one of the reasons that the Skins were said to have not had any big run games other than Roy Helu coming in and breaking off one or whatever the case may be on a draw. The problem is this. Jay Gruden saw that Kirk Cousins was doing well with the pass. 300-plus yards every game. Got it. He fell in love with it and thought that Kirk Cousins could make better decisions. He did not. This hurts Alfred Morris because Alfred Morris does not get the opportunities to run the rock as many times and as much as he should. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Cowboys have it right, and I'm a Redskins fan, I'm sorry to say this, but the Cowboys have it right. You run the rock, you protect everybody else. You run DeMarco Murray into the ground, Tony Romo's back isn't hurt as much. Tony Romo cannot throw the ball over, I want to say, 45, 50 yards. Okay? But when he doesn't have a rush in his face and you can do the play action, he doesn't have to. That's the problem with Alfred Morris. They are not feeding him enough to stick to the game plan, in my opinion. I have him as well. And I also played Cousins this past weekend in my FanDuel leagues, and it burned me. But in order to help Alfred Morris, you have to feed Alfred Morris regardless of what's happening. Feed the beast. Once the beast gets to 20-plus touches, okay, cool. Then you suck the linebackers in and hit Reed on a crossing pattern, hit Garçon on a crossing pattern. And I want to tell you this, that Jackson had a big game as well. They just called back one of his bigger receptions because of a penalty. Jackson doesn't get that many catches, but he rakes up the yards. But the problem with Alfred Morris, they're not feeding the beast enough. That's about, they're not feeding him enough. And I think in order to get him out of the slump and to help Colt McCoy for sure on Monday night, they need to run Alfred Morris and Roy Helu in between 25 and 35 times in that game. They have to. That's all I got.
Okay, appreciate that. I will say for Morris owners, and Victor's right, I'm looking Morris has only had over 20 carries twice this year, and he's had about maybe averaging about 14 carries the last four games. And so there's still light at the end of his tunnel. His next three matchups are against Dallas, Minnesota, a bye week, and then Tampa Bay before they head out to San Francisco, who at that time is probably going to be completely healthy on defense. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. As far as for Tennessee, nothing noteworthy. You don't want to trust Charlie Whitehurst. He did have two TDs, but barely over 150 yards. Bishop Sankey, man, I tell you, he's getting all the carries. He is just not producing. He's averaging about 18 carries a ball game and has yet to go for over 70 yards. And so, you know, you remain optimistic about him. Moving on to our next game, we've seen the Seattle Seahawks. Man, I tell you, the bookie, he cleaned up yesterday. I can tell you that much. How about the St. Louis Rams beating the Seattle Seahawks 28-26? Now, obviously, you had the controversial play at the end where it looked pretty evident that the Seahawks recovered the fumble. But nonetheless, looking at what took place in the game, we got to start off with Russell Wilson. I'm going to tell you this much right now. He has put up, been the leading fantasy player overall two out of the last 3 weeks. And that is a trend you're going to see continue. I'm not talking about him being the overall leader for fantasy points, but his production, it's going to be there because this is not the same Seahawks team as last year. The defense is not as dominant. And so what you've seen last year from Russell Wilson was his statistics a lot of times get tapered because by the time the middle of the third quarter come around, Seattle was so far ahead, they weren't doing anything but running Marshawn Lynch and just keeping it safe, close to the vest, about to walk home with a victory. They're going to be in ball games having to play all the way through to the fourth quarter right now. And Wilson, without question, is one of the best playmakers. He's a guy who he just gets out there and does his thing. And so owners of Russell Wilson have to be thrilled. First player in NFL history to throw for over 300 yards and pass for, and run for over 100 yards in the game. He's just a flat-out stud. Marshawn Lynch continues to struggle. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. I know the Seattle is banged up on the offensive line. I talked about Alex Mack yesterday out in Cleveland. I talked about Doug Free in Dallas. But Russell Okung, their starting tackle, has a torn labrum. I've been seeing him get out of his stance a little bit earlier. He's been getting some false starts. So I don't think they're completely healthy on the offensive line. We wanted to see with Percy Harvin being gone, who was the guy that Russell Wilson was going to target. I think that it could fluctuate between Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse. But Baldwin spoke out last week. He's been there for a while. I think he's a guy who's going to elevate his play. The Seahawks defense is certainly letting everyone down. Taking a look at what happened for St. Louis, I spoke on this earlier in the week on one of my other shows. Jerry, great job. He spoke on it yesterday. What I had seen after last Monday night's football game against San Francisco, on a couple of my shows early in the week, I said Trey Mason, the rookie from Auburn, looked like the best running back in that football on that football team to me. I wonder if they're going to ever give him a shot to get the majority of the touches. Jerry told you to watch out for him yesterday, and sure enough, really without the Rams notifying any of us, Trey Mason got to start, and he looked very good. 18 carries, 85 yards, a touchdown. Obviously had to fumble at the end, but he is a guy who's definitely going to be amongst the top waiver wire pickups at the running back position. Talk to me, Victor. Did anything stand out to you in this football game?
Well, I'm actually looking at some replays of it right now. How silly can you be to let a punt return happen to you and not even know what the ball is if you're on the kick team? Also, a bold move. Jeff Fisher was desperate. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought he was desperate when he did the fake punt at the end of the game. But it was a smart move. It was a smart move to protect his team. Now, Trey Mason has relegated pretty much the starting running back to, I would say, maybe 40% of fantasy players either drafted in the second round or the third round. I'm talking about Zach Stacy to a third running back because Benny Cunningham is getting in there and getting the touches behind Mason. So Zach Stacy has become an afterthought. He didn't get 1 point yesterday, even though I know he was probable and stuff like that, but he was still healthy. He's looking at not having his position anymore, that running back by committee. Also, Mr. Davis, the quarterback, Austin Davis. Is it time for us to consider him as a legitimate fantasy player? Because he's putting up points every week. He's putting up points every week, and he's doing well. I had a decision to make myself between Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger. I said, you know what? Russell has been doing very well lately, but he's going against that stingy St. Louis defense. He just lost Percy Harvin. I'm going to start Ben. I'm telling you, it's becoming tough for me to sit Russell Wilson in the league that I drafted him as my number two quarterback. But from what I can tell, Lance, the LOB might be a legion of bust because they can't stop the run, and they apparently are good at cover three, but not man-to-man. So I don't know, brother. I don't know. I think they're in trouble up there if they don't get back to running Marshawn Lynch and mixing in Robert Turbin. My suggestion is this. If Marshawn Lynch is having issues with his back, you might want to grab Robert Turbin as his handcuff if you have not done so already. And, yes, Doug Baldwin will be that guy, as he was last year as Seattle went in on their Super Bowl run. I don't think they're going to do it this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like you said, and that's good advice on Zach Stacy owners. Like you said, this guy is an afterthought. I warned owners earlier in the year that his stock was going to drop once Sam Bradford went out. And to be completely honest, Benny Cunningham and Trey Mason got a shot yesterday. They're worthy of it. You know, Stacy played pretty well this year, but both of those guys look to have a little bit more to offer. So that's that. As far as Lynch is concerned, not to worry. The next three games for him at Carolina, Oakland, and the Giants. So he should be able to get on track. You know, he started off the season with four straight double digits games, then has had a couple tough outings. You know, the teams are starting to realize that, you know, taking Lynch away makes it more difficult for them. Moving on to our next game. This was an absolute one here that sent you for a loop. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Cleveland Browns 24-6. And the Browns were right on schedule. I spoke on them on one of my other shows, and I just said this was a team that, without question, have been competitive. First five games of the season, two of their losses were by a combined 5 points. And we were going to get an opportunity to see if this Cleveland team was for real, because their three games starting yesterday were Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and Oakland, who had one collective win between them. And the Browns could have came out of there 6-2. Those were games that they should have won if they were for real. But as we can see, they are not. And so Ben Tate was the biggest flop out of that situation yesterday. 16 rushes, 36 yards. Brian Hoyer, again, I apologize to fantasy owners for that. He stunk it up, 16 out of 41. This guy missed 25 passes, didn't throw a touchdown, lost a fumble, had an interception. You know, again, I think week to week now you got to kind of look into that one a little more. And it's so funny because head coach Mike Pettine said prior to, the weekend that he had his team prepared not to let this be a trap game. And that's exactly what happened. And the blame has to fall on the offense because they intercepted Blake Bortles three times. The defense held him to 159 yards, and you still lose that game with only – you don't even score the second half. The biggest thing that surprised everybody, he's going to be another top waiver wire pickup, running back Denard Robinson. Yeah, you remember the former quarterback from Michigan, was converted to running back last year, didn't get any time. 22 rushes, 127 yards, a touchdown. I think that really shocked people to see him run for that much on Cleveland. But you can forget about Toby Gearhart. There's a guy that you want to consider there. Yeah, Victor, anything besides Robinson getting off stand out to you in that one? And, again, also Andrew Hawkins had a strong game, 5 catches, 112 yards. It was good to see him back on the map. Started the season strong in PPR. Last 2 weeks have been missing in action but came back strong yesterday. But it's not good. He basically had 100 of Hoyer's 200 yards. Anything stand out to you in this one, Victor?
You just stole my thunder, but that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, the shocking thing is, well, it shouldn't be a shock, but Jordan Cameron disappeared again. He disappeared yet again. But Antoine Hawkins was a surprise to me because he's been consistent, but he hasn't had the yards. I like Jacksonville's nucleus of young talent and their enthusiasm. they normally play well at home. Although what I did not see and surprised me was that Cleveland didn't play well at all. It was mainly a defensive battle up until the fourth quarter. And Brian Hoyer threw a ball behind Ben Tate that batted it up in the air, and he got caught for an interception and pretty much put them in position for that touchdown. Now, here's my thing, ladies and gentlemen. Is Denard Robinson going to be the number one back for them, Jacksonville, that is, for the rest of the season? No, I don't think so. Storm Johnson was a little nicked up. He still got a touchdown in that game, but Denard Robinson did get the bulk, and he made work. So don't go out there and think that you're going to get a bona fide number one running back. Denard Robinson, first of all, is way too small to take the pounding that they're going to give him. I agree with Lance. Toby Gerhardt, he's done. He's finished. He's a bust. I want to have my all-bust team. He's going to be the starting running back alongside of Trent Richardson. But in this game, you could be happy with the defenses, but the offenses were suspect. Allen Robinson, he's been one of those guys that hasn't seen the end zone catch six or seven balls per game. So he was a PPR stud without the touchdowns. He finally got one. So, he's a low three, four, maybe even a flex receiver, because he will get you the catches and the yards if you're looking for something like that. That's all I got.
Okay, moving on quickly. Indianapolis, I tell you, their defense is worth picking up off the waiver wire right now. There's not a lot of named guys. I mean, you got DeQuell Jackson, who came over from Cleveland. A couple people are familiar with Eric Walden, Vonta Davis. You know, he came over from Miami last year. On the pronunciation of Biergin, the rookie they picked, their number one draft pick from last year, outside linebacker. You may just know him because he was their top pick. But this is a defense that I tell you, Chuck Pagano has this group very disciplined. And I sat Mohamed Sanu myself yesterday. I advise fantasy owners to just be leery, because if you look at what the Colts defense has done to opposing number one wide receivers, they held Demaryius Thomas to 48 yards, and that was on 11 targets. You know, it wasn't like he was barely getting thrown to. They held him to four catches, 48 yards. They held Jeremy Maclin four catches, 45 yards. A couple weeks ago, Steve Smith didn't get anything. And yesterday, I mean, nobody seen that coming. But their defense just flat out, and you know what, this is the second time. I seen this happen a couple weeks ago when Baltimore came in there. They just dominated time of possession. 40 minutes the Indianapolis had the ball yesterday. That means Cincinnati only 20 minutes. And if nothing else at home, I mean, this defense is just playing really disciplined, good football. And so it was all about Andrew Luck. Congratulations to him. Ty Peyton Manning, he looked to break that record next week. He's got five straight games with over 300 yards passing. Chipped in two TDs. Trent Richardson, just spoke on him, 77 yards on 14 carries. He got nicked up, and so I think Ahmad Bradshaw's value just got an extra bump. Bradshaw, I tell you, man, this guy might end up with 10 TD receptions at the rate this is going. I don't know how teams. And you know what? But yesterday, his touchdown reception was just all on Ahmad Bradshaw. Just flat-out effort, fought his way into the end zone. I texted Victor yesterday along with a lot of other people, and I said, you know what? T.Y. Hilton has established himself as the number one wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that time that Wayne missed last year, that allowed for Luck and Hilton to really get that relationship established, that chemistry strong. Everyone knows, and that's why Andrew Luck is succeeding so much. When they drafted Luck, and that's one thing I will say about the Colts organization, they know how to draft. When they drafted Andrew Luck, they brought along with him Vic Ballard, who's injured this year, but he was a rookie at the time. They drafted T.Y. Hilton, rookie. They drafted Dwayne Allen, rookie. They drafted Kobe Fleener. And they actually drafted two other wide receivers. One is hurt and one was suspended for the year. But I'm saying to you that they brought in an all-new offensive weapons besides Reggie Wayne so that everyone could grow in that offense together. And you're seeing it happen. Dwayne Allen was an excellent waiver wire pickup. He had 59 yards and a touchdown yesterday. And so this offense is clicking on all cylinders. Andrew Luck is a must start. I think T.Y. Hilton is your guy. Reggie Wayne is passing that torch over. I think Reggie Wayne right now is still a productive player, but I think like Larry Fitzgerald, the foot speed, and not that either one of those guys ever were Blazers, but you're just seeing defenses. Marcus Colson's another guy, even though he played, had a good game yesterday, but defenses are just able to stay step with them a little bit more. And so I think that without question, T.Y. Hilton has solidified his spot on that team. He's on pace to be a top five fantasy wide receiver, top five in the NFL in yards. You just see his confidence growing each and every week. For Cincinnati, it was all disappointing. Andy Dalton, only 120. This offense as a whole, only 135 yards. Giovanni Bernard showed up MIA for the first time. And like I said, Mohamed Sanu, tough matchup. You know, the Indy takes the top receivers away. And so this one was all about Indy. I say add their defense quickly. And Ahmad Bradshaw, while Trent Richardson is out if he misses any time, he's certainly a must-start now. Victor, talk to me. I guess it was all about Indianapolis. I don't know really what to say about Cincinnati.
I'll tell you, Lance, it's something special here. Ahmad Bradshaw is proving that, and I said this before, if this old man in football terms can take this job away from Trent Richardson, he's a bust. And right now, he's looking like, and I agree with you, maybe 10 touchdowns is in his future, but he's running the rock and he's catching the rock. And you know, that's the big part. He's running and catching the rock. He's making Hakeem Nicks irrelevant. And, you know, I had to play Hakeem because of a bye week. I, too, had all of the Eagles on one of my team, and it's not working out this week, but it's okay. But Hakeem Nicks is the odd man out here. Reggie Wayne yesterday was the odd man out. And T.Y. Hilton, like you text me like you're talking about, he's getting the torch passed to him, and he's running with it like he's in the Special Olympics, just as proud and as happy as he can be. The thing is, that defense is awesome. I didn't think they were going to be that good to shut out Cincinnati, especially holding Giovanni Bernard to pretty much nothing in the run game and in the pass game. Mohamed Sanu, I thought he would show up in this game. He did not. They're showing that Andrew Jeremiah might be a little bit more important than what, you know, he's coming off as, missing the last couple weeks. But anytime Cincinnati has to put TaylorMade at linebacker, because Vontaze Burfict and the rest of that linebacker core is that depleted, it's time to get a new defense. I don't know if everybody knew, but TaylorMade and another strong safety had to play outside linebacker when Vontaze Burfict left because they had none. Drop Cincinnati's defense. Pick up another one. And if you're an IDP, Vontaze, he might be done for a while. He's been dealing with concussion issues all year, and then got hit in the crown of his head, which knocked him out of this game. Got all that money, great player, but they're in trouble. They are in trouble, Lance.
I have to agree with you there. Moving on to our next game, Minnesota versus Buffalo. The things you need to know out of this one, Jerry called it. Jerry Taylor, again, my man, cash out. Great job. He spoke on Jerick McKinnon maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They finally decided to give McKinnon the starting job. And I knew, even though Buffalo's defense is very tough, if you've had a chance to see McKinnon play, he definitely has some extra burst in his step. And he's a guy, if he gets in the open field, can do some damage. And so a great opening game for him. 19 carries, 103 yards. I think out of all the waiver wire pickups at running back, he's the guy who should be most highly coveted because he's been playing. You know, when we flip this thing over here and we're talking about C.J. Spiller, one rush, we talked about him yesterday. He's a home run guy. He's either a guy who is going to get you a 60-yard touchdown or he was going to do nothing. His one rush yesterday, 53 yards. The other knock on Spiller has been injury-prone. He's done for the year with a broken collarbone. The first game, it seemed like he was going to finally bust through for us. He's gone for the year. They also lost veteran Fred Jackson for about maybe a month with a groin injury. He's a little older, so it's probably not going to heal as quickly. So I'm just making a comparison that Bryce Brown is the running back they brought over from Philadelphia. He is the guy who's going to step into the lineup now. Now, Anthony Dixon has been playing more. And so Dixon is probably going to get to start next week possibly. But I'm just saying Bryce Brown is a guy who I think can be productive because he can run and catch. But I was just making the contrast to McKinnon. He hasn't been on the football field at all this year, speaking of Bryce Brown. So it may take him, you know, maybe a game or two just to get, you know, in sync with game speed and, you know, just really get an understanding of the offensive line. But Jerick McKinnon is definitely a must pick up. I really like his schedule the next 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks he has, let me get that up real quick, he's got Tampa Bay and Washington. So I like his next 2 weeks matchups a whole lot. And so I think he's the guy that you want to pick up. And then we also talk about Sammy Watkins. Watkins right now, it's a trend. If you look at Sammy Watkins' games, he's been there one game, he disappears the next. He's there the next game, he disappears the next. It's been every other game, and we called it. He was missing in action last week against New England. I don't buy into the whole Revis Island thing. If you see how horrible New England's defense is, and you see Eric Decker shaking him out of his pants the other night, but Orton only targeted him 3 times last week. And I'm saying that's your number one pick and your best player. You need to be targeting him 3 times a quarter, you know. And so he finally got the targets yesterday, 9 catches, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hopefully Orton will make sure to get him his targets. I mean, I don't understand how you draft a player number 5. He's your best option. And, I mean, I understand coverage. I understand the pressure. I understand there's a lot of things that go into it. But you have to find a way to get this guy to football. And so Jerick McKinnon, Sammy Watkins are your guys who you know you want to look at weekly. Again, for Watkins, he's a rookie. It's going to be week to week. But I like McKinnon a lot. And, again, Anthony Dixon could be a good fit for you for about a week. But I think after that, Bryce Brown is going to be your guy. And quietly, you know, he might be a guy you can swoop up off the waiver wire and pay some dividends for you somewhere here in the next month. Talk to me, Victor. Anything I didn't cover on that one?
No, you hit it on the head there, my friend. I believe that Watkins, with the tutelage of Kyle Orton, he looks like Kyle Orton, that is. He can be a good bye week play for a lot of people. And he's targeting Sammy Watkins the way he should. Again, with Bryce Brown and Anthony Dixon being the running back, I say again that Pierce and maybe Taliaferro could be trade bait here because you don't know how Fred Jackson is going to recover from that groin injury. As you said, he's an older back. It's going to take him time to heal. So I would scoop up Dixon or Bryce Brown off of the waiver wire real quick if I could, and I was in need. And in some leagues, I am in need. But I think that's a very good look there. Buffalo, you know, they show some resiliency. And Orton likes to spread the ball around, so I thought that was a good pickup there and a good play there. But I know we've got to keep moving, so I'll end with that.
Okay, cool. Dolphins upset the Bears. This was another one, like I said yesterday, man. I know the bookie cleaned up big time, 27-14. And you know what? This one was all about the Dolphins' defense, to be honest. I think the recipe is in place for Miami. If you watch Miami, if you've seen Miami right now, their defense has played extremely well. And Cameron Wake is arguably the best edge rusher in the NFL, caused a ton of havoc to Jay Cutler. And ultimately, when you look at this game, what you're seeing was Miami dominate 30 plus 15 minutes in time of possession. And I watched that game because I played against Alshon Jeffrey yesterday. 3 Bear turnovers led to an extra 15 minutes of time of possession. And Ryan Tannehill finally put a good game together from beginning to end, 277 yards, 2 TDs. As we told you, it's solidified. Mike Wallace and Lamar Miller are the 2 players who you start from Miami. They've been consistent all year long. Miller, 61 yards and a TD. Wallace caught another TD. As for Chicago, I mean, it was just one of those games. There, by no means are you going to sit any of those guys, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte. Forte did his thing again, 2 more touchdowns, over 100 all-purpose. You know, he's going to shine. But Jay Cutler was harassed. He looked a little bit off. And Miami just met the challenge. It was all week, myself included. It was all about the Bears' big receivers against these small cornerbacks from Miami. But when you don't have time to throw the football, and I don't want to say you can't, because Chicago's a team that just chooses not to. Here's Matt Forte with 12 rushes yesterday. Miami is tough against the run, but there's no excuse for that. But Chicago, they're iffy. They're 0-3 at home, 3-0 on the road. and excuse me, 1-4 on one. How am I looking at? I'm sorry. They're
Chicago hasn't won at home at all.
Yeah, I'm looking. So if they are 3-0 on the road and 0-3 at home, I don't know where the hell their fourth loss is. But okay, we won't waste time. We'll have that for you next week. But anyway, it was good to see Charles Clay back in the mix. I know that was another tight end that I had asked about where the heck he had been. Talk to me, Victor. What stood out to you in this ball game?
What stood out to me is Jay Cutler. I mean, I agree with Brandon Marshall. I might not agree with the way he expressed himself, but I agree with the fact that this guy is making all this money, is not performing. But I'm going to put it on Mark Trestman. Mark Trestman is not running Matt Forte. He is not using Matt Forte to his fullest capabilities, which in turn is causing Jay Cutler to throw the ball a lot more. So fantasy owners, you might not want to get mad at Jay too much, but get mad at the play calling. That's the head coach. The head coach said something that was very damning. He's in his interview, post-game interview, he said, "That locker room is toxic right now." Those are his words. That's a toxic locker room right now. Now, that tells me either that Brandon Marshall is going to get traded or there's going to be an issue going on. So don't expect much from Brandon Marshall, even though after he has these fits, Jay Cutler usually throws him the ball like 20 times in one game to keep him happy. That's going to be to the detriment of Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffries. Now, Chicago, I forget who they play next week, but it doesn't look good for the psyche of that team. Flip side, Ryan Tannehill, best game of his career? Yes. Still didn't look that great, but it was the best game of his career. I think that Mike Wallace has caught a touchdown or has scored at least once in the past 4 or 5 games. So look for that. I think that's a good move. I'm done.
All right, let's move it over to New Orleans at the Lions. And I think for the most part, things sort of went according to plan. The analysis on this one, and I spoke about this all week long because I have Marcus Colston and Brandon Cooks, and I just said that Drew Brees was probably the most aggravating quarterback to deal with in fantasy football. It's good for the team. It's good for Drew Brees. But for his receivers and fantasy owners, this guy spreads it out so much. I mean, it just drives you crazy. He'll throw the ball to your grandfather if he's out there on the field open. In Brees' last game prior to yesterday when he had 371 yards, this guy threw to 9 different receivers. 6 players had anywhere from 36 up to 77 yards was the high. And his touchdown passes were to Pierre Thomas and Tavares Cadet. My analysis on Brees yesterday, they throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game, so I don't ever doubt that Drew Brees can put up 300 yards and 2 TDs. You just worry about the turnovers, and you have to figure out who in the hell is going to get the most, you know, receptions or yards, and it's a headache trying to figure it out. So yesterday, one of the guys who I recommended on the waiver wire this week was Kenny Stills. I said with Jimmy Graham being out, it was possible that Kenny Stills could get in and do some damage for you, over 100 yards and a touchdown. Marcus Colston had 6 for 111. But then you got Brandon Cooks with 2 catches. Pierre Thomas, he's banged up. He got hit pretty hard yesterday, had to leave for a while. Nobody else really did much of anything. But here we are again with Drew Brees' 2 touchdown passes going to a guy I never even heard. I can't even tell you. Matter of fact, let me just look real quick just to give you an example, because I never even heard of this. But Drew Brees' 2 touchdown passes, one went to Kenny Stills, as we said. The other went to Austin Johnson. I mean, you know, it's just all over the place with Drew Brees. And so the Saints are now 2-4. They're going to continue to air it out. They did get Mark Ingram back. The one thing I took away from this is how dominant that front four is for Detroit. I mean, I knew that they were playing extremely well. But I don't know how many offensive lines in the NFL are going to be. I mean, you talk about wreaking havoc. They were on Drew Brees' behind all day long, And they do not give up anything on the ground. Man, I thought with Stephen Tubbs missing, maybe they miss a beat. But that safety, James Habago, excuse the pronunciation, came over. He's a hitter. Grover Quinn is a hitter. And what's his name? DeAndre Levy is just a baller, man. He was in the top 100 players in the NFL countdown this year. And so I'm just – Detroit's defense, I know by now they're not available. I had them for a week. I thought when some other tough matchups came up, they would kind of buckle, but the defense is real. Matt Stafford, that's what I want to speak on real quick. That's who I sat Kirk Cousins for, and to be completely honest, if it wasn't for those last 2 minutes, those last 4 minutes of that ball game, it would have been the right pick to a certain degree, because up until those last two touchdowns, Stafford only had about 6 points. That touchdown that Golden Tate caught, I mean, the Saints defense is just, how do you let a guy take an 11-yard hook route and put on a little move? You don't have nobody fast enough. And Golden Tate is not a blazer. He's not slow. But if you looked at the players for the Saints, you know, guys taking wrong angles, it's just ridiculous, you know. And so Tate blew up 10 catches for 154 yards. But what was it, 77 of them came on one play. But Golden Tate, and you'll see that later this week in my Twitter feed. Again, I did an article earlier in the preseason talking about how important number two receivers were, and I rated them based on if the starter was out, what their value would be, also their ability to fill in on a bye week or if a player was injured, and just being on the opposite side of a dominant receiver, being able to win their one-on-one matchup. And my top three guys were Emmanuel Sanders, Terrence Williams, and Golden Tate. And Golden Tate has been one of the top free agent pickups. Honestly, if it wasn't for him, the Lions probably would have lost two more games, because he has filled in for Calvin Johnson admirably. He's put up Calvin Johnson-type numbers. And Joy Bell, you know, he continues to be a guy who's got way more value than Reggie Bush. Talk to me, Victor. What did you see take place in that New Orleans Lions game that stood out or surprised you?
What stood out and surprised me is that Drew Brees threw an interception to end the game. That's what surprised me. But also, what surprised me is the Lions have nothing if Calvin Johnson isn't in the lineup. Matthew Stafford is, I'm not going to say subpar, but he's not up to par if he doesn't have Megatron. There were a lot of drop balls in that game. Reggie Bush is injury prone, but he's a good play for your bang for your buck. But Joique Bell is clearly the better running back. Also, I saw that Mark Ingram, he's coming back with a vengeance. He's in a contract year, so he's trying to prove to people that he can run the rock. He didn't get that many opportunities. Neither did Pierre Thomas. But you posted something on your Facebook page that says, you refuse or you don't like drafting Saints receivers in that receiving corps. And I agree with you 110%. Why? Because you never know who Drew Brees is going to throw the ball to. The only constant is Drew Brees. Even Jimmy Graham can be considered a misnomer sometimes because you don't know what's going to happen to him. He was only in for a handful of snaps. So it is what it is. You have to realize that and understand that it's going to be tough sledding for both teams here on out. It really is. But that defense of Detroit, they are for real.
Were you able to get us the extra 30, or we weren't able to get that on?
I was not able to get us the extra 30, my friend. I was trying. Blog Talk Radio said they're having issues with scheduling and hosting. So I'm very glad that you're able to get on to host the show, because apparently others are having issues even hosting.
Okay, not a problem at all. So what we're going to do is we've got basically 5 minutes left. I'm going to push through quickly, and then we'll go a little bit in depth so you guys can catch the rest of the show in overtime. I'll just make anything that was noteworthy in the Packers versus Panthers game. Nothing was noteworthy there. Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson continue to shine. I think the biggest thing is for Eddie Lacy owners, this is what you can expect. Expect for him maybe to get 50 to 60 yards a week. Hopefully he gets a touchdown. But the way I'm looking at this is they're preserving his body. They are going to preserve Eddie Lacy for the playoffs. They do not want this guy taking a pounding. I think they understand the concussion issues, his reckless style of running. And so he had 12 carries yesterday. Now, again, it was a blowout. It wasn't a game. But they are making sure to – and you know what? I've seen a guy made a good point yesterday. He said over the last 3 weeks, it's not just yesterday, that Eddie Lacy has one more down play than James Starks. So I think that James Starks, if you're desperate, and I'm not guaranteeing it, but he could be a guy, you know, who steps in. And, I mean, he basically had maybe about three or four less points than Lacy yesterday. For Carolina, it all remains the same. Greg Olsen, over 100 yards. He's going to continue to be a must-start. And my man Kelvin Benjamin, big-time red zone threat. Cam Newton, you know, it's difficult to get passes to him. I mean, Cam was just under immense pressure. But Kelvin Benjamin is a must-start every week, especially when they get into the red zone. Cam Newton is finding, looking for him, and that boy knows how to go up and get that football. Looking at the Chiefs and Chargers, I called this upset. San Diego came in 2-4. They understood the desperation of not dropping the 2-4 in that division behind San Diego in Denver. And so with Jamal Charles, I told you see a healthy dose of him, 95 yards and a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe had 5 for 84. You see him coming around a little bit more. You know Alex Smith is going to be efficient. Brandon Oliver, you know, you expect it for San Diego. I mean, they were on a 5-game win streak. I just kind of seen this one coming. And Phillip Rivers, don't feel bad about his performance. He just didn't have the opportunity. Kansas City chewed up 39 minutes a clock to 21. And so when you can control the ball like that with smartly to keep the ball out of Phillip Rivers' hand, because Rivers was going to work on his Chiefs defense. So no need to worry there. No panic there. Cardinals at Raiders, Stephon Taylor. That's the guy that you're interested in. Yes.
I got to jump in. Look at your clock. Look at your clock. I got it fixed.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and backtrack. Thank you very much. I was just trying to push through because the show is normally from 7 to 8:30. We thought we were only going to be on for an hour, but we got the extra 30 minutes, and so we're right on schedule. Victor, talk to me about both the Packers and Panthers game as well as the Chiefs and Chargers. Talk to me about what stood out there, any waiver wire pickups, any guys you need to think about sitting, et cetera, and so on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about that Panthers and Green Bay game real quick. Cam Newton needs help. Bottom line, Greg Olsen broke 100 yards yesterday and he had a touchdown. Kelvin Benjamin did decent as well, but that is it. Jonathan Stewart is no help. Chris Ogbonnyanyi, who was the backup last week or yesterday, no help. D'Angelo Williams, he should be coming back next week, supposedly. But when he comes back, he'll be a yards guy. The problem with him is he does not get in the end zone. That would be the waiver wire pickup you might want to look at and stash. If you can, get him, put him on your IR until they for sure say he's going to play. But other than that, don't even play the Panthers' defense. They're looking bad. And this week coming up, it's supposed to be the Seahawks versus the Panthers. Everybody thought that was going to be a hardcore defensive game. I'm not so sure that you even want to play Cam Newton or Kelvin Benjamin or Greg Olsen in that game. But yesterday that was what I saw there. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers loves him some Jordy Nelson and the cover two. If he sees cover two, expect Jordy Nelson to go 87 yards or better for a touchdown. He likes to get the ball down low to Randall Cobb. What I mean by down low is underneath and let him get the ball and run with it. So that's an option that I think you'll see there. The Eddie Lacy versus, oh, my God, I forgot the running back's name. You just talked about him, Lance.
James
help
Starks.
Me out. Yeah, James Starks. One rush difference between the two. And James Starks is a third down back. Here's the deal. If you have a position where you can play or take a chance and play James Starks, you might want to think about it. It doesn't look like they want to have Eddie Lacy run the ball 25 times a game or even 20 times a game. I don't know if they're trying to protect him from his concussions or if he's just not that effective. But Aaron Rodgers has found a way to negate the running attack and go back to the passing attack. Definitely something to think about. If somebody offers you a trade, like I'll give you an example. I'm sorry for stuttering, but I want Lance to give me his opinion. I was offered a trade: Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, and I forgot the other player. four, Phillip Rivers, Demaryius Thomas, and I wasn't going to give up Shady, but he wanted Shady. He was going to give me his running back. Well, I'm not going to do Shady. Let's just say another running back. Would you do that deal? For me, based on what I've seen from Green Bay, I'm hesitant because I want to get that, but I don't want to give up Bay Bay. So, Lance, I'm going to ask you real quick, what do you think about that?
Absolutely not. Phillip Rivers is capable of putting up the same numbers as Aaron Rodgers. Demaryius Thomas is going to dominate over Randall Cobb. Like you just said it, Jordy Nelson is your guy for yardage. Randall Cobb gets yards, don't get me wrong, like he had yesterday, but he's the touchdown guy. And then I don't know who this running back situation is, but there's no way that you are giving up Demaryius Thomas under any circumstances whatsoever right now. This guy has over 30 points in back-to-back weeks. There's no way. Absolutely not. You do not give up Demaryius Thomas under any circumstances whatsoever right now.
I agree, my brother, and that's why I didn't take the deal. But to talk about the second game, and I know you want to keep moving, is Kansas City-San Diego. What I saw in this game was I saw Phillip, and I can't stand Phillip Rivers' release. I can't. It just looks so like, and I'm not making fun of people, but he looks very handicapped when he throws it. Like, Bernie Kosar looks better throwing the ball than he does. But he gets the job done. And this young man, Brandon Oliver, he might be a flash in the pan because he's so small. He's a pinball. That's pretty much what he is, a pinball. But he's going to take a lot of snaps away from Ryan Matthews. And I'm not sure when Ryan Matthews is going to return, but he's not going to be the full-time back there. He's just not. Keenan Allen, hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I think, I'm not certain, but I think Phillip Rivers is a Democrat because he likes to share the wealth. But in all honesty, he's a Republican, and I know he doesn't like to share the wealth. But Malcolm Floyd, Eddie Royal, Antonio Gates, they're eating away at Keenan Allen's production. Really, they are. Even though the past couple weeks he's done well, he worries me. On the second side, or the other side of that, Dwayne Bowe's uptake in receptions has picked up for Kansas City. I do not like the load-sharing deal with Niles Davis and Jamal Charles. I just don't. I know Jamal Charles was the more productive yesterday, but I do not like the timeshare whatsoever in that situation. Because if they get in a physical game, Niles Davis is going to take most of that. I really think so, and I hate to say it, but I think that's the case. Another guy they're trying to get involved is the Black Mamba. He's doing well. The little kid, about 170 pounds from Oregon, he's a guy that I would look out for. I, if I were you, I would look at him next week to see how, or yeah, because they don't play Thursday. I would look at Kansas City next week to see how they incorporate him in the game. He had a possible touchdown taken away from him, but they're giving him opportunities. So that would be the guy I would look at a little bit. I know his last name is Thomas, can't remember his first name, but young kid out of Oregon, doing well. And Kansas City's defense, just as good as San Diego's. Play them both. I took a little bit too much time, but go right ahead, Lance, and do your thing.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, we got it covered. I just wanted to come back and comment. You know, I didn't have a chance to comment on a couple of things in depth myself. I just wanted to say about the Panthers right now, what we thought would happen is what's happening. They can't run the football. It doesn't matter who's back there. They can't. They lost tackle Jordan Gross. The running backs are old and slow. And so even when they, you know, get some open space, they're slow. So passing the football is going to be the way that Carolina moves it if they can. And so that is why Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin are going to always be must-starts. You have to pick your poison with Cam Newton. And when it comes to the Chargers situation, like I said, your confidence should be there in Phillip Rivers. Look, they had the Phillip Rivers in just 20 minutes. That's all San Diego had the football for yesterday. They got he in 20 minutes, he had 205 yards and two TDs. And so you don't worry about him. And then also Antonio Gates, we got to give him some shine. I thought he was done. You know, I honestly thought he was done. last year because the numbers just weren't there from what we were have. We have become used to seeing Antonio Gates with 10 to 15 TD receptions and 100 yards and be one of the most dominant receivers. So last year, I thought it was an off year. But when I look back at the stats, I said, damn, he had 77 catches for over 800 yards last year. Man, that was quiet. And this year, he's balling. So he's a strong start. I was kind of wondering if he was going to be a starter because most people drafted, I would say probably 90% of people drafted Antonio Gates to be a backup this year. They didn't draft him to be the top tight end. And so you've got some key decisions to make. I think right now Gates is a guy you can sell high, make a trade, package him up, because you're not really going to be able to, you know, trade tight end for tight end. You should have a starter. So you can either trade your starter and bring in somebody big time, or you can package up Gates and get take advantage of the value while it's there. I think it's going to continue because he's been with Rivers the longest, and the trust is there. And Gates, he's just playing motivated football. You know, and I think he's healthy. I think last year was his first year back off that foot injury. You know, the year before, he just could not get out there and function well. So I like Antonio Gates. And then also, Victor referred to it, Brandon Oliver, you keep him on your team. This is a tough guy. 15 rushes for 67 yards. Kansas City's defense is no fluke by any means. Again, think about it. He did it in just 20 minutes. That's all San Diego had the football for yesterday. He can catch out the backfield. And Victor said it, myself, look, Donald Brown, he's not getting back in. And so all Oliver is going to have to worry about is Matthews, who's going to take a while with that MCL. He's probably going to be back in another 2 weeks. Or this week, he hasn't even got back running yet. And so it's going to be at least another 2 weeks until he's able to play. He's going to have a big brace on his leg. And if nothing else, Oliver is going to take the place of Danny Woodhead, who's gone now. And so you keep Brandon Oliver on your football team. I seen him yesterday. Tough little runner. You know, like like Victor said, he's like a pinball. He's short in stature, but he breaks a lot of tackles. He's got good heart. And I think he's a guy who the Chargers are going to continue to lean on. He's a perfect fit for their offense. Moving on to Arizona at the Raiders. Wasn't a whole bunch to talk about right before Victor let me know that we got our extra time. I got to give this guy props. Andre Ellington, I was kind of hard on him in the preseason. And I think the expectation that was placed on him from the media and from so-called fantasy experts, I wasn't that high on him. I thought he was a guy, and that's where I kind of seen him going around the fifth round. But I was hearing, you know, picking him in the first round or two, and, you know, he's just going to have this huge year, and, you know, he's going to be like Jamaal Charles. And I said, well, they may use him like Jamaal Charles, but being Jamaal Charles is something completely different. You can't take a guy like Charles who has put in, you know, 4 or 5 years worth of consistent work and expect for Ellington, who's a smaller back as well. That was my concerns with him and Giovanni Bernard. Would they be able to take a beating over the course of a full season? But I got to tell you, Andre Ellington, he's a baller. There's no question. And with the type of offense that they're running out in Arizona, he's getting his touches. And I think the main thing for him is he's getting healthier. I think that bye week helped him out a lot because he came in with a foot injury. But if you look at the last 3 weeks, 26 against Denver, 8 against Washington last week, but came back strong with 15 yesterday. And the thing I like about him the most, he's an all-purpose back. Yesterday, he led the Cardinals in rushing yards and receiving yards. And in that big game he had against Denver, he had over 100 receiving yards, took a swing pass, which he was lucky to catch. There were defenders all over the place. But nonetheless, he's a guy, when he gets in the open field, he picks up yardage in huge chunks. Nonetheless, Stephon Taylor, I'm not quite sure, and Victor, I'm quite sure Victor is going to be able to have some insight. I love Victor for being able to have these small trinkets here for us. But despite how well Ellington is playing, and he got 30 touches yesterday, Stephon Taylor got in there. I don't know if they're trying to protect Carson Palmer. I don't know if it was just yesterday. I don't know what it was, but Stephon Taylor got in yesterday, 12 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown, caught a receiving touchdown as well. I think, and Victor alluded to this, I think this is something that they need to do in Kansas City. I don't see how you can keep a guy like Miles Davis off the football field when you see how effective he is. And so it looks like, you know, Arizona's saying, you know what, we don't have a ton of weapons in the passing game. You know, your guys are sticking with Larry. Floyd does his thing. It's kind of up in the air with Ginn Jr. and John Brown. So why not lean on another good running back? Why just have him sitting on the sidelines? And so I think Stephon Taylor, if they're going to use him the way they did yesterday, which was a lot, you want to get him. It's going to be risky. I'm not saying get him to be a starter, but I think he's a guy that you have to take some serious interest in, especially the way that he got used around the goal line. As for Larry Fitzgerald, it was quiet yesterday. Again, he's just not as fast as he used to be, and he doesn't have a quarterback who can scramble. And so if Carson Palmer does not have a clean pocket and coverage is there on Larry, he's not going to force it in. And that's the wise thing to do. I just seen an article in Arizona saying that their quarterbacks had not been turning the football over, and that's the key to why they're 5-1. Michael Floyd had the touchdown yesterday for the Raiders. I told everybody, don't get so high on Derek Carr. I got to hit up my good friend Marcelo Serra over at Fantasy Football Challenge, but he's a rookie. He can sling it without question, but you don't trust a rookie. It's going to be week to week. Andre Holmes was missing in action. Darren McFadden, he's the new starter there now. Maurice Jones-Drew, I don't know what happened to him, but he's done. And so if you need a good running back, I'm not saying McFadden's a guy you can lean on, but I don't think he had 80 yards the week before against the Chargers. Yesterday found double digits. I figured that I figured the Raiders in the red would be able to have some red zone opportunities. He cashed in there. I mean, you got to take it how you can get it. And anybody who's going to have the ability to contribute double digits, and I don't think that there's any doubt that McFadden can get you either, 60 or 70 yards in a TD or give you a solid day's worth of work. So I think he's a guy that's worth a waiver wire look as well. Talk to me, Victor. A lot of things happened in that Raiders-Cardinals game, and particularly that running back situation. I know you got some insight for me there. Are you on mute there, Victor? Mr. Gardner, are you still with us? Oh, he left. Okay. All right. It is just me. I don't know where my good friend Victor Gardner happened to disappear to, but this upcoming Sunday, make sure to tune into the Master Plan. Because that's a situation that we definitely want to look into a little more. Again, running back Stephon Taylor, for whatever reason, got an awful lot of burn yesterday and was amongst the top fantasy running backs with 17 big points for the Arizona Cardinals. Moving on to Dallas and the Giants. And in this one, we already talked about how Odell Beckham Jr., who had two touchdowns yesterday, and Ruben Randle's value both took a huge bump upwards, as well as Larry Donald. All of their receivers, I talked about it yesterday, and once Odell Beckham Jr. came back, I said, now you got problems if you got Victor Cruz and Larry Donald because you got an extra receiver in the equation. Well, now that Cruz is gone, unfortunately, Larry Donald, 7 catches, 90 yards, but he had 2 fumbles, so that got his numbers back down to just 5. But Odell Beckham Jr. and Ruben Randle, they're going to get a ton of targets, and you got to play these guys. If you have an opportunity to pick up either or, it's probably going to fluctuate from week to week. I've seen Randle lining up in a slot, and so that's always a good situation. So you probably are giving him a little bit more value. I don't know if that's going to be something that happens each and every week. But Odell Beckham Jr., guy looks good, 2 TD receptions yesterday. He's going to continue to shine and get better. The running game is stalled for New York, though. It looks like they're going to really be looking forward to Rashad Jennings returning. Most people, and I certainly advised it, that people pick up Andre Williams, the backup running back for the Giants, but in 2 fairly easy matchups. Last week against the Eagles, that game got out of hand early, so he really couldn't get involved, but he had 16 carries. And then yesterday, he had 18 carries. He hasn't been able to put up more than 55 yards. And so, here was a guy who many of us thought, the Giants are on a bye week. I'm fully expecting Jennings to be back after that bye week. Williams will still get a little bit of burn because Williams, they probably won't force Jennings back in to take on a full workload. But he's been a disappointment. He hasn't found the end zone, hasn't scored more than 5 points, and so he's been shaky. But as for the Dallas Cowboys, you keep on plugging away. Coming into the last couple weeks, the big three was Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. Well, I think this big three here is much better. I won't say much better, but they're better. Tony Romo, 279, 3 TDs, continues to keep the turnovers down. And Victor said it, when you have that effective of a running game, it takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback, and it also keeps defenses guessing. You cannot load the box, because if you leave Dez Bryant in one-on-one coverage, you're going to see what happened yesterday. 9 catches, 151 yards, came up just short of a touchdown. Terrence Williams took advantage of single coverage on a great play that Tony Romo busted coverage. And DeMarco Murray, congratulations to him. Set a new NFL record, 7 straight games of over 100 yards. He was my number one pick this year. I think this is a guy that we all knew had tons of talent. It was just a matter of him staying healthy. Now, we didn't expect this, but I am gladly taking it. I am enjoying it, man. This guy is stockpiling on the points. And just stay healthy, DeMarco. Just stay healthy. He almost injured himself yesterday, tripping over his own foot. That was the biggest thing that I was happy to take away from that one, was just seeing him get back in the ball game and be healthy. That's the last thing you want, is for DeMarco Murray getting banged up right now. And so the Cowboys are set. The one guy who's missing is Jason Witten. I think it's time. You got to seriously think about cutting ties with him, or putting him on your bench, or as soon as he has a good game, trading him, selling him high, because it's a situation here where he's blocking. You know, the Cowboys, with them running so much, he's blocking. And listen, Jason Witten, he's a veteran. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the best Cowboys ever, definitely one of the best tight ends ever. So he's worried about winning the Super Bowl. He could care less about his stats. And so I think that it's time for us to part ways with Jason Witten, or at least sit him on your bench, because he's not going to put up the production you're used to seeing. But he's a team player, and all he cares about is winning. Victor is back with me. Thanks for getting back on the line. Victor lost you for a second. The big thing I was trying to find out from you is I was talking about Stephon Taylor. I'm not sure if you were still on the line or heard that, but he came in yesterday, and despite Andre Ellington getting 30 touches, Stephon Taylor found the end zone twice. And I was just telling fantasy owners out there that I think that Arizona is doing a smart thing by using another effective back, and that I felt that the Kansas City should take on that same identity. I don't see how you can have a player as good as Niles Davis, and despite Jamaal Charles being a superstar, you can't just leave Niles Davis on the sideline. And so, you know, Stephon Taylor, like I said, I don't know if it's to protect Carson Palmer, if it was just a game plan for the week, if Ellington was tired, if it was just opportunity, if they're planning on using him, because outside of Floyd and Fitz, they don't really have any established weapons. But do you have any insight on Stephon Taylor as far as is this a guy we can see in this role weekly, or was just yesterday just an admiration?
Well, first, I agree with you. I'm not saying Niles Davis or Taylor should be benched, but for those that own, like, Jamaal Charles, they're cutting into him. For somebody that owns Andre Ellington, they're cutting into the production. However, in Taylor's situation, I believe it's the Bruce Arians thing. Bruce Arians likes to mix it up a bit. He likes to keep his backs fresh. Just like, you know, defensive coordinators switch out their DNs and D-tackles to keep them fresh, Arians does the same thing. Now, is Taylor fantasy relevant? I'm not ready to say that. But I am going to say that going forward, since Arizona has already had their bye week in week four, you can expect to see a lot more of Taylor. He's one of those players that's on my short list of players to get. If I can't pick up, you know, Anthony Dixon or one other player. So I like his production. I think there's more to come. But I'm not convinced just yet that he's going to be fantasy worthy to stick in there in a flex position.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And so, yeah, I'm like you. I think you want to watch a trend. But certainly I like the way they use them. And I know fantasy owners hate that. You know, you hate seeing Niles Davis cut into Jamaal Charles' work. You hate seeing Stephon Taylor potentially get 2 touchdowns that Ellington did. But, you know, you got to kind of respect the situation as far as the coaches looking at this thing saying, you know, we need these guys in it for the long run. So I don't think there's any question that Jamaal Charles, I mean, come on, he's going to continue to shine. And Andre Ellington, like I said, 30 touches yesterday. I guess I can't see why Stephon Taylor was needed, because if Ellington would have got every single touch, he'd be up to like 40, 45, and nobody can take that type of pounding throughout the year. Our last game before we get into our predictions for tonight, I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm embarrassed by the score, but I will say that, you know what, if you haven't learned anything about playing against the Denver Broncos, you cannot afford to waste opportunities, and that's exactly what San Francisco did. I never thought San Francisco was going to win this game. I knew that Peyton Manning, I mean, we don't have a pass rush. The 49ers do not have a pass rush right now. But the things that I'm looking at is this. Our offensive line is struggling. That's the game where we were supposed to be, the 49ers were supposed to be physical enough up front to keep Frank Gore involved and do what Kansas City did. You cannot allow Peyton Manning. You got to keep him on the sidelines. And so without San Francisco being able to run the football effectively, you factor in Anquan Boldin dropping a touchdown. They could have cut it to 14-7 instead of 14-3. You factor in coming out of halftime, you're down 21-10. In your first possession, Colin Kaepernick's throwing an interception. You cannot afford by any means to go more than two possessions without scoring some points against Denver. That is the bottom line. If you are playing against the Denver Broncos, I've seen it happen a week before against Arizona. You know, Drew Stanton's overshooting John Brown for a touchdown. Josh Brown, he's a rookie, so we'll give him a leeway, but he's dropping a key third down. See, when you play Denver, you've got to chew up maybe 5 to 6 minutes worth of clock per quarter, per possession, and you must put some points on the scoreboard. That is it. It's 15 minutes in the quarter. I know teams may not like it. It may be boring. But when you are playing Peyton Manning in that offense, out of those 15 minutes in the quarter, I don't care if you're running your plays with 1 second on the clock, you cannot let that man get on the football field. This offense is high-powered. So the things that stuck out to me in this one was the drop by Anquan Boldin. I picked him up for a week because I wanted to make sure if things didn't go well during the day, I had one last player to put on some extra leeway. I played against a guy who had Emmanuel Sanders and then Le'Veon Bell tonight. And so that drop touchdown by Quan hurt me, but I'm still up 26. I should be up 32. This one should be far out of reach, but that surprised me because he's got trusty hands. I'm not surprised by Frank Gore. I told everybody it was going to be a shootout. He was going to get lost in a shuffle. Nobody's surprised by Peyton Manning. Congratulations to Mr. Manning. He's just remarkable. I'm surprised a little bit about Ronnie Hillman, but again, the work came late, you know, and that's what we expected from Monty Ball. So I'll just say this again. I'll pass it over to Victor, and then we'll give our predictions for tonight. If you're a Monty Ball owner like myself, you got to be petrified. Ronnie Hillman looks – I can't even say he looks. He's the better back right now. He's hitting the hole harder. He's faster and more elusive in the open field, and he's been there longer. And, man, I mean, last week over 100 versus the Jets. Yesterday, 74 and two TDs. Monty Ball hadn't put up any type of production anywhere near that. And, man, I all I could say is it's likely to be a timeshare when Ball comes back. To me, in my estimation, I mean, maybe Denver feels different. I didn't see enough out of Monty Ball to say that he locked up his starting spot when he came back. So that's what I took away from this one. Also Denver's defense, but again, the 49ers struggling pass protection. So that wasn't that big of a shot. But I just say, well, for Monty Ball owners, you've got to be worried. Talk to me, Victor, before we give our predictions for tonight's game.
Real quick, I'll tell you this. The secondary and the entire defense of the 49ers is depleted. It's tough. This is a time more than ever when they need to turn to the run game and just let Gore and Hyde do their thing. They have to. I know they got some weapons on the outside, but they need to spare that defense. The whooping like they got this past Sunday on the opposite side of the ball, I believe that Peyton Manning, of course, as you said, now listen, if you got Wes Welker, that was an aberration. That touchdown, he's the odd man out, bottom line. He's the odd man out. So don't expect much from him. As far as Hillman and Monty Ball go, Hillman has had fumble problems. That was his only issue, that he fumbled the ball. If he can find a way to not fumble the ball, he can steal that job away from Monty Ball. But, again, that was depleted 49er defense without their big hitters and people to make them drop the ball. So, with that being said, I don't like the running game of Denver anyway. But I stick with Monty Ball for now and see what happens in a couple of weeks. Lance.
Yeah, I'll just say, too, the 49ers right now having trouble running the football because they're banged up on the offensive line as well. Played last night without Pro Bowler Mike Iupati and also without starting center Marcus Martin. Another injury to the offensive line happened last night. So, you know, even that is not looking too promising right now. But nonetheless, that. Let's move on to tonight's game. Victor, like I said, we've got a ton of guys in this one. I know that I know my pops, he needs 28 from Roethlisberger. I need Le'Veon Bell to score less than 26. I know there's a guy I know who needs Arian Foster to get 12. So I know there are a lot of fantasy players in this one tonight. You got about a minute, Victor. Tell me what we expect or what players you expect to shine tonight.
I expect to get Antonio Brown in end zone 7 times. I also need Le'Veon Bell to get 2 or 3 touchdowns. I also need Arian Foster to get in the end zone 2 or 3 times because I got him in different leagues. So what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is I need this to be a blowout or a high-scoring game. What I'm going to tell you is the defenses probably won't let that happen, but they've been playing poorly lately. So you might expect a high-scoring game at Heinz Field. With that being said, Antonio Brown is my go-to guy, along with Heath Miller. Heath Miller and Antonio Brown. JJ, what? Yes, but that's it.
That's what's up. Mr. Y needs to be on the free agent wire. He's scoring more touchdowns than some of these skill position players.
Who you got?
I know, right? For myself tonight, I've got Arian Foster. This Pittsburgh defense is in shambles. I expect him to come out energized, but Arian Foster, and I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins tonight. I think Hopkins is going to have a big game against the Steelers' poor defense. For the Steelers, I'm looking at Antonio Brown. He's going to present the same type of problems unless they make an adjustment from last week, what they did with the T.Y. Hilton. Antonio Brown is going to cause the same type of issues. So I think the big winners tonight are going to be Antonio Brown, Arian Foster, DeAndre Hopkins. I think those are the guys you're going to see the score the most points. And I don't think there's going to be a ton. Neither one of these teams playing too sharp right now. It'll probably end up being like a 23-17 type ball game. That is going to wrap it up for today. It is the Extra Point. I am the NFL Exporter, as Victor Gardner. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at NFL Exporter. That's NFLEXPORTER or Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. I'm here. We're here each and every Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also shouting out my man Jerry Taylor. You want to make sure to join us every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Master Plan. We give all our predictions. You get the most in-depth analysis from 3 different people. And then we come back on Mondays with the Extra Point, see how we did, and get you ready for Monday Night Football. Everybody, best of luck in your fantasy football matchups tonight. Make sure you're here with me next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am the NFL Exporter, signing out, 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL Exporter has done it again. No one in the corner has like a like. No one in the corner.